So who with the resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 91. And Happy New Year! It's been like a year since we've had an episode. Man. Like a week,
that's
right?
A whole year, just not since last year.
Yeah, it's been like a year. Hope you all enjoyed 2 weeks ago. I guess it was 2 weeks ago, right? The show from 2 weeks ago, because this week it's all about the Cave of Evil. Or Darkside Cave. Cave of Evil is the canon name of it, believe it or not. Like, wait, it actually received a canon like name in 2015, like, I know.
That's as bad as Mount Doom.
Yeah, the Cave of Evil received its canon name, I think, in 2015 in one of the books, which is one of the design books or something like that. It was really interesting. Anyway, as always, I am Mikey B, joined by my co-host Danya.
Hello, Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, Danya. You got to 2018 before I did, though.
I did. I completely did not realize that it was 2018 until, like, a good 2 minutes into 2018, because I was distracted because I was watching hockey. And I didn't realize until I heard, like, fireworks going off, and I was going, that's really annoying. I'm trying to listen to the comment. Oh.
I feel like that should be your, like, circumstances for 2018. That's really annoying. Oh, that's why.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Okay. Anyway, we also have Caitlin with us this week. Hey, Caitlin.
Bonjour.
Happy New Year. It's been a year since I've talked to you.
I know. Long time no talk.
I know, right? And Ben, how are you doing today, Ben? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm doing okay. I'm, just sitting here.
Sitting there. Is it cold where you're at right now?
It is. I'm in New York right now, so it's just kind of... It's not as cold as where Caitlin is, so I shouldn't complain.
Well, yeah, because considering Caitlin's on Hoth, so we get it.
Yeah. Minus 41 with Celsius with the wind chill tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you guys can get a hold of us on Twitter at rradiopodcast, leave a comment on our Facebook page, or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. You can also leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including Cobalt Squadron, which is read by none other than Rose herself, Anne Marie Tran, which is awesome. Like, I love that she reads it. So it's a pretty...
Kelly Marie.
Why did I say Anne Marie? Why? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
You know, in all honesty, I actually hit my head today, so...
Okay.
Yeah, like, I fell down the stairs, so, like, that's not fun.
Oh, my.
I know, right? Like, ice pack and everything on head.
But you're, like, recording an episode, so we're good.
We're good. I'm here. I may not be coherent, so you guys might have to reel me in, but that's all right. Anyway, we launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. We got some really cool perks there, including Discord chat, recording studio, movie nights, After Dark episodes. We need to schedule our next movie night, guys. We definitely need to do that, so hopefully hear about that in the next week or two. If you can't afford to support us via Patreon, we also have merchandise for sale on our website at resistanceradio.net. T-shirts and button packs are available. I think it's time for the news. You guys agree?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah! So, guess what, guys? Star Wars The Last Jedi has surpassed $1 billion, including surpassing Rogue One in the theater. Can you believe that?
I mean, it's not bad for, like, apparently the Star Wars film that's ruined the franchise, right?
It has made a lot of people be like... It's definitely a film that has people go on one side or the other. But so far, as of this recording, it's made $1.09 billion worldwide globally, which is pretty cool, you know, considering that every Star Wars film has crossed that billion-dollar mark that's been released since Disney purchased the franchise. That doesn't include toy sales. That is purely just, you know, the film sales. So with The Last Jedi crossing $1 billion, They have now made $4 billion, which was the purchase price of Lucasfilm. So Disney has made their money back just in the films alone, which is kind of cool.
That's a lot of money. How many times have you guys seen it, though?
I don't want to answer.
No, actually, I'll answer first so Mikey feels less bad about himself. I've seen it 4 times.
Okay, I don't feel that bad.
I've seen it 5.
Okay, I don't feel that bad. I've seen it 7 times, so that's all right.
Oh my goodness. So I don't feel that bad. I would have seen it one more time, so I would have seen it 6 times, but the one day when I was back that I was going to go and see it again, we got snowed in. Well, my parents' places.
Did you have a split decision to make?
Oh man.
The ticket prices half price?
Oh god. These are terrible jokes. You're banned.
I'm making them up as we go. Banned. Come on, these are Hey, like I said, I hit my head today, so and that's actually, I would have seen it one more time if I didn't hurt myself.
I don't think that would have made a difference.
Shh. Pretend like they're better jokes.
Oh my god. Yeah, so I got snowed in the one day, so I couldn't leave the house to go and see it, which Caitlin will probably laugh about because, like, wasn't a lot of snow, but because the UK are, like, completely incapable of dealing with any single amount of snowfall, like the entire country shuts down because we have no infrastructure to deal with it. My car couldn't get off the drive because the path that goes down into where my parents' place is, the tires just couldn't get any grip on the ground at all, so I just couldn't get my car out. So that was fun. So instead, I decided to lie on the sofa and just watch TV.
See, this is why we have snow tires, so we can go see The Last Jedi even when there's snow.
Yeah, I think, like, snow tires just kind of are redundant here, because most of the time it just doesn't snow, so there's no point. It would be spending money... It would be spending money on something that I would get one use out of every, like, maybe 10 years or so.
Did anybody have fun crowd reactions in different screenings? Because I definitely did.
Yeah.
Little kid lost it when Snoke's lower half fell off the throne.
I had someone lose it again with Snoke also when his tongue was just sitting out and he's just, like, laying on the ground going,
Another one was... when Broom Kid uses the Force for the first time at the very end, it's like silent, and you know, there's sometimes like little gasps or whatever. Some guy in the back of the theater just goes, "What?" I like you. You're the best.
Oh man,
my dad had some like really great reactions because my dad's like a huge Star Wars fan. We always go and see the films together. He really liked The Force Awakens. He thought it was a lot of fun and blah, blah, blah. But sometimes he's really hard to please when it comes to films. But he absolutely loved The Last Jedi. Like, a lot. He had a lot. He was basically like... He said that he hasn't enjoyed a Star Wars film at the cinema that much since he saw Empire. And he loved Empire when he saw it. At cinema. And he said he hasn't enjoyed a Star Wars film in cinemas as much as he did since he saw Empire.
You know what's interesting? Is the more and more I've watched The Last Jedi, the more and more I realize it mirrors Empire almost exactly.
Yeah, it does and it doesn't. Like, it plays on that expectation of, like, treading in the same sort of thematic kind of narrative as Empire. And then it messes with your expectations.
Well, and that's exactly what it is. Like it is Star Wars to a T. Like it follows the formula of what we know before, but it does it in such a different way that you're kind of like it makes you kind of second guess whether you're aware of what you're seeing. So I like the more I see it, the more I like it. I will say, you guys know my opinions. I was disappointed in Luke at first, but after seeing it multiple times, I actually applaud what it did. It made me tear down my idea of Luke Skywalker, the legend,
that I had in my head of who Luke Skywalker was to see who he became. So I liked it, you know, and it rightfully so. Part of that, you know, $1 billion is from me, you know, seeing it
yeah.
that many times.
Same. Yeah,
your private screening, that was a big chunk.
That was a very big chunk. My credit card, you know, was happy. You know, I got points for it, you know, airline miles for it. Anyway, moving on. We actually had an interview with Collider with Neil Scalin, who was one of the creature designers for The Last Jedi. And he got to talk about one of my favorite scenes in The Last Jedi, specifically about...
The green scenes milk. In that movie.
Wait, how is
that's
that
your favorite?
What? How is that not one of your favorite scenes with the Thalassirons? Like, seriously, like, Luke goes and milks the udder of this creature with green saying, milk, not just, blue milk.
Stop.
With his green milk, not blue milk, green milk, and he just takes a gulp of it and he just stares at the screen. Like, it almost breaks the fourth wall. Like, he stares at the screen with, like, milk dribbling down.
So, do you want to know what's going to make this even better? Someone tweeted out, I don't know if it was today or if it was in the last day or so, but basically being like, you know that if Rey hadn't been there, he would have just drunk the green milk straight out of the teat. And Mark Hamill liked that tweet.
So what we found out about with this interview, and this is why I'm including it as news, is one that it, in quotes, it made a lovely tasting drink. By the way, they didn't tell us what it tasted like, but it was apparently lovely tasting. And so, to me, if you can describe something as a lovely tasting, it has to be pretty good. So Mark's expression on that scene just makes it that much better for me. But apparently, it had a small tint to it, but it wasn't really green. So they CG tint on it. So like, apparently wasn't like that gross looking, but they did that in post, which I get, you know, as a joke. Like,
I'm curious if this is going to be a drink at the theme park.
Well, you know, at Disneyland during their Disney days, they had like Darth Vader, you know, chocolate cake and stuff like that, which is like double dark. You know, dark side chocolate and stuff like that. And I know they had something with blue milk. I think it was like a cheeseburger with blue cheese. Like, it wasn't blue cheese, but it was like American cheese that was tinted blue. I don't know how they did. Nope. It's Disney. What can I say?
American cheese, when it's normal colored, is not good.
Well, it's white normally, and then they put dye in it to make it yellow. So there you go. So making it blue is no different. But anyway, so I'm sure they'll do something with blue milk, possibly this green milk, because apparently it was a very lovely milkshake. It was a lovely tasting drink. Like, seriously, come on. But the problem with the milkshake is it'd be too cold.
Yeah, I've had a blue milk cocktail before, which was quite fun.
It's probably like a blue Curacao and something. So
yeah, there was loads of that. Look, I'd had a few, so I can't entirely remember what was in there, but they were very nice.
I want like a green milkshake with a pork burger.
Oh no, a pork sandwich or something like that, because it's got to be more like chicken.
I want pork.
Fried
chicken burger.
Fried pork, wings, pork wings with the hot
Kentucky
sauce.
Kentucky fried pork.
All right, anyway, let's move. Anyway, let's move on. So, what do you call it? Star Wars Forces of Destiny, Leia, number one, hit shelves this week. And what's really cool is, obviously, we've seen that Hera survived to after the Battle of Endor. But in this comic, you see Hera Syndulla on Echo Base with Caitlin hanging out there in the tundras of snow.
We're tight.
Caitlin's not really there, guys. She's just in Canada, which is like Hoth. If you guys go to the link, there's a couple pages of the comic actually posted. What do you guys think about this? Just seeing that Hera is there on Echo Base.
It's delightful because I love the idea of Hera living forever, basically. Mm-hmm. She's my favorite, okay? I really love Hera a lot. So this is actually really heartening.
You know,
especially because I'm kind of a little bit I'm entirely unprepared, but also mildly expecting to lose some characters when Rebels mm-hmm. comes back for its back half. And I'm kind of thankful to know that Hera isn't going to be one of them.
Well, we saw Hera in Battle of Endor, so we knew she survived.
Yeah, but no, this is what I mean. Like, the continued use of her means that they can't go back on it now.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what I will say, what gets me the most is I do like that they've been very specific about which characters have survived so far, at least from Rebels. Like, we've seen Hera, we've seen Chopper. We saw Chopper and Hera in the Forces of Destiny short, and we were able to go ahead and, so we know that they survived, but we haven't seen any of the other characters. And, like,
nope.
I've even, like, looked through every panel on this to see if there's anyone else. You can say, like, oh, there's the ghost, and there's someone coming out of it, so that could be, nope. Like, it's just Hera that they show in this. So we don't know what happens to Kanan. We don't know what happens to Ezra, Zeb, or even Sabine.
It's going to be a very stressful back half of Star Wars Rebels through to the finale. I'm entirely ready and not at all ready.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see where it goes, because it's definitely something that, it's a great series. So, yep, so that's it. So that came out with Forces of Destiny number one. Now, the last bit of news I have, we've talked about this before with The Force Awakens, and now we have a 16-bit style The Last Jedi Final Fight on Crate. Guys, did you get a chance to watch this?
Yep.
And
no, I did not.
I want to see it in IMAX.
I will say the music is always one of my favorite things. Like, just taking the scores and converting it to 16-bit is just awesome. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, basically it's the final battle. You see Luke Skywalker walking out of the Resistance base, going up towards the Kylo Ren's ship and all the walkers out there, and he stands up. It's all 16-bit animation. It's got the text boxes like you would see in something from the Super NES or even in NES, and it's like fire, and you see all the blasters and everything. So it's that full battle scene and everything. The only thing that gets me is the dirt as it comes up from the ground. It's like a classic blood, like, kind of thing, instead of like the red sand, salt. Yeah, it kind of freaks me out a little bit. But it's the mist, you saw. But yeah, it's great overall.
I like the way Kylo Ren's mouth moves, and it just goes more.
Yeah. Do you think
I still absolutely love. the guy who basically just licks the planet and is like, salt. It's salt. It's like, how? Why is that, like, the first thing that you think to do is, like, lick the planet? Like, is that his thing? Does he go around? Yeah, apparently. That's what you do.
I don't know about you, but the first thing I do when I get off a spaceship on a new planet is just lick the surface to see if it's any good.
Well, that's what I do, because, Taco Donut.
It might be like the
whole, Taco Donut tastes like licorice, so it's definitely worth doing.
No, totally true.
My advice to you, if you come to Hoth, don't lick the yellow snow.
But isn't that lemon?
Yeah, lemons are good. Exactly. Sure, and you give that a try.
Yeah, so check out the 16-bit version of The Last Jedi as finale.
Specifically, when Luke, like old Luke meditating and floating, collapses, there's this very nice thump when he hits the ground.
it's really funny. I like the whole thing, just like as it kind of goes away, like the, how it just disappears, the two suns, like it's very reminiscent of obviously what we saw in the film. I like it. It reminds me of like the old Super Star Wars. I don't know if you guys ever played Super Star Wars, but it looks like the background was taken straight from Tatooine, which obviously that's what it was meant to look like in the movie, but the 8-bit version looks just like the Super Star Wars NES game, so on Tatooine, which made me happy. Anyway, it is time for our spotlight topic, guys. You excited?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Nothing quite like going into a deep dark cave.
I know.
You didn't even stop.
Go into caves, it's really bad.
Yeah. So actually, caves.
I'm trying to think. I can't think of any good cave.
The Cave of Wonders, Aladdin.
That's where I was going. Except he did almost get caught, or did get
but
caught.
But it freed Genie. It freed Genie and Carpet. Anyway, that's probably my favorite cave, the only good cave I can think of. But yeah, so it is officially called the Cave of Evil. If you have the Ultimate Star Wars book, which was released in 2015, it gives you an in-depth look. It's essentially an encyclopedia from DK Books. It gives you in-depth look on characters, creatures, locations, technology, and vehicles from the Star Wars universe, including it was written by writer Wynnham, someone who we've had on the show before, and also has Anthony Daniels, who does a foreword, which is pretty cool. But it was canonized there. So, guys, the Dark Side Cave that Luke visited on Dagobah is officially called the Cave of Evil. And I would say the cave on Octu is also considered a Cave of Evil. Also,
I don't like.
Why not?
It just doesn't sound. Well, isn't. No. Isn't the original Empire Strikes Back called. Isn't it a magic tree? Isn't that a thing?
The Force Tree?
Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, no. It's called the Cave of Evil. That's it. All the other stuff is gone. You guys had me throw away EU before when I said Luke has a beard and I don't like it. So, nope. It's Cave of Evil. Anyway, what I really wanted to talk about with the Cave of Evil specifically is how we see this dark side style cave in both Empire Strikes Back and in The Last Jedi. And specifically, you know, how there's the similarities between the two of them. One of the biggest differences is Yoda tells Luke to enter on Dagobah, and Luke tells Rey not to go there, even though her mind was reaching for it, and she wanted to. And I think that's obviously from the very different kind of mindset they were both in, whereas Luke was eager to learn, but had seen already, you know, the dark side already and kind of been present to it. Whereas Rey was searching for answers and was able to be tempted right off, even though Luke still had some problems going in, which we'll talk about in a minute. What do you guys think about just like the comparison between Empire Strikes Back and The Last Jedi and that ominous cave that Rey went into?
Well, in Empire Strikes Back, there was a point to it. Is there a point in The Last Jedi other than it's kind of a cool sequence?
I think there is a point to it.
Okay.
Which we'll talk about in a minute. I don't know, Caitlin, right. Danya, any thoughts on this cave that Rey goes into, that Luke went into?
Danya, do you want to go first?
That's basically I don't want to say anything, so you say something.
Well, I do, but I don't know where to start, so I'll let you go first.
I mean, it's a really difficult thing to just talk about in general. Like, it's such a specific thing that it's hard to, like, break it down properly.
Okay, I think to start off, using Mikey's kind of key lines there of, like, when Luke goes, what's in there? And Yoda says, only what you take with you. And he ends up seeing a reflection of himself, and Rey ends up seeing a reflection of herself. So I'm wondering if it's kind of like a, in terms of like the dark side's always in you. It's up to you whether which side you choose, or maybe that you're your own kind of your own worst enemy, really.
Okay, I'll take that.
And second of all, because you. Like, I don't think Yoda was being literal when he says only what you take with you. So, like, it's only the darkness that you carry with you, but you wrote that, like, Luke took his lightsaber, and technically, if you think about it, lightsabers are the more violent or aggressive aspect of the Jedi. Technically the Sith as well, but they're already on the dark side. Because technically, like, the Jedi are supposed to be peaceful, but here they are with a lightsaber weapon,
which is meant for protection. So no, I agree with you. So like when you look at the two caves, like there's so the problem with the caves of evil, if you take a look at it, is you have to remember that for before we even get into it. So in Empire Strikes Back, Yoda instructed Luke to go there. It was a challenge for Luke to kind of face his fear, if you will, right? To confront it. Whereas when Rey is being taught by Luke to reach out, one of the three lessons, which also brings up one of my favorite lines of, she's like, can you feel the force? And, you know, she feels the feather. But
yeah.
It's one of my favorite scenes where as she reaches out, she sees the dark side and she went to it. And Luke gets mad at her. Now, obviously, Rey was presented, just like Kylo Ren was presented, with alternate paths, and I think it was meant for us not to know where she was going to go. But the Cave of Evil, if you will, in The Last Jedi, just like what Luke was confronted with, you know, what's in there, only what you take with you, was the same thing with Rey. You know, when she went in there, she didn't take anything. She was just drawn to it because she was looking for, in my mind, she was looking for answers. I think right after that, she ended up contacting and talking with Kylo again, and that's when the revelation of her parents was revealed. It was right after that scene. And I think if you look at it, you know, Luke saw a reflection of himself in the Darth Vader mask, something that he had to confront, something he had to go to see. You know, again, he was destined to confront Vader, his father. Whereas Rey is confronted with a reflection of herself. If you've ever gone to like a changing room and had like the never ending parallax of yourself, like the mirrors, that's essentially what we see in the scene, which is a very cool kind of trippy scene, which makes me feel like, oh, this is not a Star Wars movie. But at the same time, you're like, you know, it really is, because it's the same as what you saw in Empire Strikes Back, just presented a different way. And then you see her see like the mirror at the end with a shadowy figure, and it's hard to see. And then as she touches it, it turns out to be herself, you know, because she's confronting herself, not wanting to admit she knew the truth all along. When we look back at The Force Awakens, you know, one of the biggest speculations, one of the biggest things was, you know, who are Rey's parents? And, you know, from a certain point of view, maybe Luke is her father. But that's for another conversation. I won't end it. It will never die. But from a certain, hey, if Ben Kenobi can say it and it be true, means I can say it and it be true also. From a certain point of view, I'm going to say it, that she is Luke's daughter, okay? From a certain point of view. We'll talk about this at another time. We'll get to that, all right? Let me finish. I'm making a very important point here, guys. Just simmer down.
No, eventually.
One episode later.
Episode 278.
All right, on episode 278, I will explain it, okay? So we just got like 190-something episodes. Anyway, from a certain point of view. Anyway, back to what I was saying.
From a certain point of view, you're full of crap, but...
Oh, see, I get that point of view.
Yeah! All right, fine. I'm going to just stop there. You know, but in Force Awakens, that was one of the biggest things, was who was her parents. And she even has a conversation with Maz Kanata saying, what's behind you is not what you're looking for, but there could be something for what you're looking for going forward. And as she goes forward, she sees herself knowing that she knows what the truth is, and she has to accept it. Just like with Luke, when he confronted Vader and then he saw a possibility of himself, he knew it to be true. Just like Vader told Luke, said, search down, you know it to be true. When Obi-Wan never told you who killed your father. You know, what happened to your father. That's exactly it. So that's my thought process on the Cave of Evil here between Rey and Luke, the parallels there. Just because of that. And I love that the shadowy figure is herself. What do you guys think about this? Like, is this just my thoughts only, or...
Yes, it is.
So, from a certain point of view, I'm the only one that thinks about this. Got it.
Well, that and, like, the other... I mean, maybe this is looking at the wrong way, but part of it could also be she sees herself because she's the one who raised herself.
There you go. That's interesting. If she raised herself, whereas Luke... Well, Luke didn't raise himself. He was raised by an aunt and uncle, but he saw Vader in there.
Which is his biggest fear at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate.
Yeah, I guess I get that. Danya, any thoughts
on that? And maybe instinctively he knew, because he instinctively knew Leia was his sister. So maybe at that time he hadn't come to terms with the fact that there's that connection and what it meant to Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that's true. Like, when you look at it, like, after this, after Luke had gone into the cave, you know, it's one of those things where Luke ended up realizing and being able to search his feelings, and he essentially, like, if you look at it, like, after this is when he confronted Vader, he became back and became, like, a full Jedi after this. Like, this is essentially the trial that, if you look in the original, in the prequels, and in, like, the Clone Wars series, like, this was the trial that they would take to become a Jedi. Now, not necessarily the same one, but this was a stand-in for it, if you will. Especially when you look at the Clone Wars series, Yoda entered the same cave under the guidance of Qui-Gon Jinn. And Yoda saw a dreamlike vision of the destruction of the Jedi Order with Darth Sidious being there. So, it, you know, he wanted to see who it was, and he never got to see who was the, you know, Sith that destroyed the Jedi Order. So it's one of those things where this confrontation was a trial for them. And I think this was the trial for Rey. This is what led her to make that, you know, after this, she made her decision to go confront Ben, which was same as Luke's decision to go confront Vader. And both masters, both Yoda and Luke, said, don't go. Like, this is not time for you. But after they had gone into that cave, they had a renewed sense of purpose. Like, it was a, you know, an eye-opening, you know, spirit walk, if you will. But what do you guys think? Like, did this open up the, you know, did this open up clarity for Rey on her decision of what to do? Even if she was wrong in her decision, just like Luke was wrong in his.
I don't really think she was necessarily wrong in her decision in the fact that, like, I mean, she wasn't ill-informed. You know, like, well, I mean, she was, but in a different way than Luke was back in, like, Empire. Because, like, Luke was like, oh, crap, my friends are in danger. I'm going to go save them. And the Yoda's like, well, hold on. And he's like, nope, bye. And then Rey is like, you know, Luke, why won't you help me? Like, Kylo Ren, he'll turn. And, like, even if that was false, you know, even if that was faked, you know, in their connection or whatever she saw, she at least was like, Luke, come with me. We're going to go do this thing. And he was like, nah. And then she's like, well, fine. I'm just going to do it myself. And then,
well, and that's, she isn't goes, that the, is, and then, is, but she's is being that the very, same like, thing, though?
But because, the thing is, like, it, she's being very genuine in that she's like, guess what, Kylo Ren? You're going to be a good guy. And he's just like, no, I'm not. And then
you're gonna be a bad
even,
guy.
Even to the very end when he's like, join me, she's like, no, like, don't do this and that. You know, like, it wasn't, it's not like, well, he chopped her hand but, off. Well, and said, I and am
more to Ben's point also, like, it was when they touched, that's when she assumedly saw his future, and that's what made her believe that she could save Ben.
And that's the same thing. And that's when Kylo Ren also admits to, like, that's when he saw her future, and it's the opposite of what she saw.
Well, they both predictions. They saw both.
But the real question here is, how has there not been a YouTube video yet of every time we touch when that scene happens?
Because the movie's not officially out yet, so
that's true. But when it happens, oh man,
Ben, I feel like you're making this. But you know, the big, you have to think about it also. Like, be mindful that, you know, Rey had a vision of what Ben was going to become, or what Kylo... I'm going to just say Kylo, because we have a Ben on the show, and it's too confusing.
No, he has a name. It's Ben, okay? And he's not dead yet.
Just like
I feel like he's Ben when, like, Rey is referring to his good side, or before he became Kylo Ren, and then he's Kylo Ren.
I mean, I feel like he's still, like, even at the very end, when he is completely 1,000% on the dark side, Luke still calls him Ben just to be like, guess what? You have a name, and I'm going to bother you with it. You know?
Yeah. Well, okay. We're getting away from the cave of evil here in this conversation. But no, like, I was talking about the similarities with it. Like, that is a similarity when you have someone like Yoda saying that the future is always changing. You know, he said Luke sees the future, and Luke says, "No, I need to go save his friends." It's the same thing with Rey saying, "I need to go save Ben," and Luke even tells her, it's not going to go the way you think. Again, is that him? Is that Luke knowing more, Yoda knowing more, or just both them being crabby old masters who have gone into hiding?
I think that's just experience.
And it could be, and it could very well be that. Like, could this be, you know, what is different from, like, the Jedi of old, of the, you know, of the prequel era, where, you know, the trial is not only just the cave, but them following through and failing or learning from it. Because think about it, at the end of The Last Jedi, just like at the end of Empire Strikes Back, I was going to call it Cloud City, Luke has learned a very valuable lesson, and it took him almost a year to accept it. You know, it's one of those things where he learned that Vader's his father, he confronted someone that was more powerful than him, and he stepped up, and by Return of the Jedi, he is a full-blown Jedi, and he openly confronts, and like you mentioned earlier, Caitlin, he was able to just know that Leia is his sister. Like, he was opened up to more feelings. Same thing with Rey. Now, the difference is, and this is where, if the film was out, and I really want to be able to pull this, like, you know, scene by scene, even though I've seen it quite a few times, is I feel like The Last Jedi, unlike Empire Strikes Back, it has the same thing as Empire Strikes Back, where it should end, but then it has kind of a beginning of Return of the Jedi, at least in Rey/Luke's story, in parallel of those. Whereas think about, like, in Return of the Jedi, Luke is back, and he's all confident of who he is. Whereas when you look at The Last Jedi, after the final showdown with Kylo and the lightsaber is destroyed, and they're both kind of unconscious, Rey just magically has come back. Now, that's not a bad thing. You know, she woke up before him, and she's strong, and Chewbacca saved her. But she's come back, and she's powerful enough, and she saves Leia, just like, you know, Luke saved Leia in Return of the Jedi, if you will. So I feel like those stories parallel, where she's grown over that final confrontation after the Cave of Evil. Danya, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. It's such a... The two scenes, while they take place in, like, exactly the same sort of...
circumstances?
Yeah, they're still reflecting something very, very different in where each respective character is in their journey. Luke has a lot of belonging. Like, Luke is drawn very much to a sense of family and friends. So his sort of fears and motivations are very much centered on family in a way that is like, he has it and doesn't want to lose it. Whereas with Rey, the sort of parallel there is that she doesn't have it and she wants it. So it's such a difficult thing to, like, kind of compare and contrast these two scenes, because while they are similar in a lot of ways, they are very, very different because of characters and motivations. You know, Rey, just in general, in The Last Jedi, goes through a much different journey than Luke did. I think Luke, in a lot of ways, had more of a sense of belonging than Rey ever did. Rey is untethered and very vulnerable, and yeah, it's just the whole scene with Rey was incredibly interesting. But, you know,
yeah, because, like, Luke, he grew up with his aunt and uncle, so he had family there. Then he had Leia, he had Han, and the rest, because there was that time in between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back. Whereas with Rey, she had that really brief, like, time period with Finn and Han, and then also we're into this episode. There was no time frame for them to build a connection between, and she also didn't really grow up with anybody to be attached to either.
Okay. She grew up, yeah, that makes sense.
She's not used to having that connection.
Yeah. I think the familial connection that really untethered her and got her to this sense of, like, not having a place anymore and wanting to find her place was Han. Like, I feel like when it comes to a familial relationship that she felt very, very strongly to, like, Rey is working through a lot of grief in The Last Jedi, because where she thought that perhaps she might find some belonging, that was sort of snatched away from her very, very quickly in The Force Awakens. You know, Kylo uses that against her as well in saying, like, you know, you were looking for, like, you were looking like you're looking for a father in, like, yeah, you were looking for a father in Hong, and now you're looking for it in Luke, but you won't find it because they're not who you want them to be. And okay, this is where you will be the only, this will be the only time where Kylo Ren is not exactly wrong when he says that, because I don't think that either of those characters would be, can be to Rey what she's looking for. But yeah, that's what makes that cave scene for Rey really, really interesting, in that she just sees a reflection of herself, which I guess kind of like folds back onto this idea that the only person she can really, or has been able to and can rely on, is herself. That's all she has and all she's ever had, really.
Yeah, because...
But I feel like a lot of her journey through The Last Jedi was coming back to and figuring out that maybe, just maybe, she can have more than just herself. But that fear is very much... we're not going there.
Say what?
Yeah.
Sorry.
yeah, so I guess like part of the journey that she has to go through here is realizing that she has more of a connection to people than she probably realized, and allowing herself to have that. Because every single story that we've had of Rey so far has either been marred by loss, abandonment, or she's been she's kind of been betrayed. You know, that story in Before the Awakening, where she starts to get close to and trust people, and she's betrayed. You know, that's the story of her entire life. So there are similarities but differences in both Luke and Rey's journeys, both in Empire and The Last Jedi. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll agree. Alright, guys. Well, back to the Cave of Evil, and obviously the journeys that Luke and Rey took through them. Was there any thoughts you guys had about the look of the Cave of Evil in The Last Jedi? It being kind of this... To me, it was all... You know, obviously it's a cave, but it was kind of a hole with the water, and then she climbed up and saw everything, but all the black stuff coming out of it. Like, what did it... You know, what did it... here to you guys, like?
I think it depends where it is. Like, it looks different from Dagobah just because it's on it, like, it's going to fit in with its surroundings, so I think that's why it looked the way it did.
Like the Room of Requirement.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree, but I was specifically looking at the Last Jedi one. You know, we saw it in one of the trailers also, and when she says something dark and it's there, and it definitely is cold and dark, and I don't know. It, to me, it looked like it was just you know, the maw of it almost reminded me a little bit of like the Sarlacc and everything, where like everything that entered was just in black and there was no light in let into it. Obviously a little symbolism there, if you will. But I don't know. To me it looked more ominous than the one that Luke went to in Dagobah, because like I said, Luke's was under a tree, like it was, you know, it was a cave that you went through the roots of the tree and you get into it. But whereas this maybe, one just was like, it looks scarier to me.
Because Ahch-To is like this, supposed to be this place for the Jedi, so maybe it looks so much darker and sinister because it's mirroring the power of the light with the dark.
Yeah.
Like it could be the level of it.
Because everything around it was so bright in comparison of it. I don't know. Any other thoughts on it, or is that it?
I don't know. I think it was a really interesting look to it. I think the thing that I found like most interesting about it was that reflection. Like that for me was the part that was most interesting.
It actually, like, the mirror part, it almost reminded me of the mirror of Erised. not to bring up Harry Potter again, but
yeah, sort of reflecting or kind of trying to reflect what you want to see or what you need to see, but just the aesthetic of it was really interesting. It's something that I hadn't been expecting. Like, it was so surreal and so out there and so different for a Star Wars film that I was just kind of like, this is really weird, but also really, really cool. You know, the other thing with you saying about, like, the sort of look of, like, tree roots and going underneath the tree roots, like, with Dagobah, like, a lot of, like, the bit that kind of, like, was going into that sort of hole in the ground anyway, that they looked a lot like roots or seaweed or something like that, just kind of, like, going down and into that cave. Like, what that looked like to me.
Like, it almost looked like you said, seaweed, but like a miasma trying to crawl out of it and spread the darkness further onto the island.
Yeah, did anyone get Upside Down vibe?
Maybe, kind of.
I possibly would have if I'd ever seen Stranger Things.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
You haven't seen? Okay. Anyway, but, well, I will say the surrealness of it was, like, I think the first time I saw it, I think that's one of the criticisms I had of the film was, like, it took me out of the film a little bit. I was like, this isn't like Star Wars. But on multiple rewatchings, it makes sense. Like I said, I think Rian Johnson did a phenomenal job where it makes this seem like, you know, seem different, but it is a Star Wars film, if that makes sense. So it gave me a different vibe than what I would have seen, than what I saw when Luke went into the cave.
Yeah, I think the film in general, the entirety of The Last Jedi, is a film that changes and grows with every single time that you watch it. Things that you might have seen the first time around completely changed by the second time. It's a thinking film. It's very much a thinking film. You cannot appreciate everything that it did in one viewing. And a lot of what was done is easily missed in one viewing. It's very much a film that you need to see multiple times. So
yeah. Alright guys, anything else about The Cave of Evil? I feel like we've kind of, until the film is out, I don't know if we can compare it any further going from memories.
Well, I don't know. Some of us have seen it 7 times. So.
Well, and that's why I brought up, you know, and that's why I typed up some notes and I, you know, thought about it. But, you know, what do you guys think? Anything else?
I think Kylo Ren should go into a cave of goodness.
How would that even look? Like, it'd be like,
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that part.
Sunshines and rainbows and unicorn.
Yeah, it'll be like, I don't know. It could be like a beach somewhere, you know.
He walks out into the sun. He's like, maybe it's like, maybe I need it's to like put my shirt back on so I don't get sunburn.
It's like a Scarif beach or something, and he's just like sad.
Remember, Scarif is destroyed. So
part of Scarif is destroyed.
Yeah, you think the rest of the planet's still a pretty beach after all that debris is thrown into the atmosphere and everything?
I mean, they could have cleaned up in the 30 years between Rogue One and The Last Jedi. I'm just saying, Cave of Goodness.
Scarif
is... J.J. Abrams, if you're listening, I want a Cave of Goodness. I know you're working on the script.
Cave of Goodness, right? Alright. Anyway.
That's actually the title of Episode 9.
Cave of Goodness?
Yeah.
That should be the title of this episode.
The Cave of Goodness.
Yes. That should be the title of the episode.
Yep. Cave of Goodness. Oh boy. Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. And as always, I am Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
I'm Caitlin.
And I am the Senate.
as we all join the Senate in the Cave of Goodness, may the force be with you.
And also with you.